are here to observe the wonders of the Lord. Now, today I want to speak from a book in the New Testament, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, actually. There's 1 Corinthians, but we're going to deal with 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read from verse 11, actually 6 through 15. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Your Bibles or your phones, you can Google it. That's Corinthians, C-O-R-N. Those who need a little help there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and it reads as thus. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Father God, we come to you right now looking for a word from you. Open our hearts, open our minds, that we can receive the message that you have for each and every one of us. Let this word draw us closer to you. Let it reveal to us who you are and how you are working in our lives to help us better fulfill the purpose that you have designed in each and every one of us to its full capacity. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now. By the power of your grace so divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So as you all know, I have a few little kitties, and so I'm very well versed in the movies of said Disney. And one so movie has made a comeback in my household. It's a movie called Moana. Anybody seen Moana? There you go, now a few nodding heads. Moana's a cute little story, a little girl on an island who wants to sail out into the sea. Her father won't let her go. But eventually she gets the courage because all the forces of nature and willing her to go out. And she goes, and the first thing she has to do is go find this guy and get him to come and save her island, to put it simply. So they sing this nice little song, which gets sung a whole lot in my house. And in the song, the guy is basically saying, "You're welcome. because he's a demigod, and he's saying, you as a human, I've been there for you, humanity, your whole lives, and I've been helping you out. And now here you are, and I guess you're here to say thank you. And she's like, no, I'm here to get you to come back and save my people because you messed up everything. But the song is so cute because he just keeps saying, no matter what she says, you're welcome. And so she learns that there is a level, not just for her to be thankful, but that he has to be also thankful, because he is able to learn himself that he has gratitude for what humans give him. And so the cute part of it all, to put it in a nice little bow, is that we often miss those opportunities to really be thankful, to say thank you. A simple thing, little words, but powerful words. So me and my ability to love research had to do a little studying on this idea of saying thank you. And sure enough, I came up with a few things. So in this one study, that the idea of just saying thank you and acknowledging that what you appreciate, what others have done for you, it leads to longer relationships. So it's proven that if you say thank you to people, it actually draws them to you. It endears them to you. Well, that doesn't sound too crazy, Pastor. No, but in 2012, there was a study that actually shows that people who are grateful, that show gratitude, have fewer aches and pains in their body. Yeah, now I'm talking, right? Now I'm talking. Supposedly, by this study, that grateful people are more likely to take care of their health. They exercise more often. They attend their regular checkups with their doctors. And therefore, it contributes to their longevity because they're grateful. Gratitude improves your psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, ranging from envy, resentment, frustration, and even regret. So this would help. You're feeling depressed sometimes. Maybe you need to just say thank you. Grateful people sleep better. Oh, this is one I needed real bad. According to a 2011 study, that when you are grateful, if you jot down, before you go to bed, jot down a few things that you're grateful for. Put your mind in a place of gratitude before you go to bed. Studies show it helps you sleep better and longer. Maybe we can try some of that. Gratitude improves your self-esteem. 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports showed that rather than becoming resentful towards people who have more money and better jobs, which is a major factor in reduced self-esteem, that grateful people are able to appreciate others' accomplishments better. We all have that little hateration in us, just a little bit, some more than others. But if we show our gratitude, being grateful, then it alleviates a lot of these things. So I didn't come up here to just give you a research study, but I did want to discuss the power of being grateful and how that power can transform our lives and how we approach our life. See, in the scripture, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians, not necessarily said this way, but if you read all of his letters, the Corinthians seem to be his favorite church. He really loved the Corinthians. They seem to do everything right. He's always praising them for the good things they do, how they've established themselves, and they work things out. And so in this letter, he's urging them to stay with a commitment that they had made a year before. The year before, they all said, because Paul was leaving them to go to Israel to establish another church. And he said, well, Paul, next year, we're going to get money together. We're going to send that church money to help them out as they keep building and growing. And so Paul is writing them and saying, hey, remember last year, you, my favorite church, when you said you were going to give money to that church in Israel to help them out? Well, now's the time. And he's writing them, and he's trying to just get them to remember and to stay to their commitment. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. See, I love this part of it, because he's not just asking them to send him money, which would probably be an easy ask, right? I mean, he's Paul. They love him. They know him. They trust him. But he's asking them to send money to another church, to people they don't even know. Could you imagine if we were taking an offering, not for us, but for the church down the street, because they were suffering and trying to grow, maybe they were going to close? That'd be a tough ask. It's like, well, we have our own issues. But Paul is doing just that. He's saying, look, guys, we really need you to step in here. And he has no problem, because he knows the heart of this church. He understands that they are grateful for what they have and what God has done in their lives. And therefore, he's saying, look, it's not about how much you give, but it's how you give. It's kind of like Mama always says, you know, it's not what you say, but how you say it. So in this terms, he's saying, I don't know how much you're going to give me. I'm not asking for a certain amount. But whatever you give, give it with a cheerful heart. Give it with a joy and a love of gratitude in knowing what God has done for you already. Look over your life. Look how he's grown in your life, grown you spiritually. Look how he's taken you from where you used to be, when they had nothing. And now he's given you all the things you have now. Maybe it's not where you want to be, but it's sure not where you were before. And this is a way of just simply saying, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done, for showing up, for proving yourself to us. And then Paul goes a little further. He says that this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. He's trying to say, look, this is an opportunity for you to bless not just Israel, not just that church, but it's going to bless all the people that they're going to bless. It's going to bless you. We can't take any of these things for granted. We can't take what God has done for us in our life for granted. We sit right now and we're probably thinking of the things that God has done, how he's shown up in situations where we didn't see a way. We didn't know how it was going to turn out, what was going to happen. But then this little thing happened, and then this little thing happened. And then the next thing you know, all these little pieces start coming together. And we see this beautiful picture where all these unseen forces came to our aid. And what seemed like it wasn't going to happen, all of a sudden has happened. God made a way. And maybe in the moment we were thankful. Maybe in the moment we said, wow, that couldn't have been me. That had to have been God. And so this is another opportunity to do that exact same thing. To don't take what God has done in our lives for granted, but to say thank you again and again and again. You know, a lot of times when we get saved, We want to show God how good we are. We want to show everybody, you know, I'm a Christian now. I do things a little differently. My life is different. And we want to prove ourselves, right? I'm going to do things a little differently. And that's great. But it's the salvation isn't about proving anything. There's nothing to prove to God. There's nothing I'm going to do that's going to make him go, wow, you did it. He's saying, right, that's where I've wanted you all the time. So it's not about us proving anything to him, but instead of putting all that energy towards trying to show off or show up or show out, put that energy towards saying, I surrender. Lord, I'm going to give you all of me. Show me how I can better serve those around me. Show me how you're breaking down who I am, who I think I am, and remolding, imaging me into your creation so that then what people see is not even me anymore, but they see Christ in me. Not me, but Jesus. You know, I've always wanted to be things in life. We all do, right? Wanted to be a singer, or a football player, a basketball player. We always want to be things. But the moment that I had that changed everything was when I realized what I wanted to be, I already was. That I was a child of God. And when I just accepted that, then my wants turned from out there. And they went in here. And I said, Lord, what I want more is for you to be real in my life. I want to know you. That's what I want. I want a relationship with you. We talk about these things. We say these things all the time. Yes, I follow Jesus. Yes, I love the Lord. Yes, I've been changed. Yes, I have a relationship with Christ. But we all know that a real relationship takes work. It's a daily thing. It's a give and take. It's a compromise. It's a listen. It's a giving in. It's a being grateful. It's saying thank you. It's acknowledging over and over again that my place is in you. And that's where I want to stay. I love the psalmist who wrote this. Because he understood that where he was wasn't of his own doing. The guy who wrote these lyrics was a very successful miner, and he moved to New York City and opened his own business. But he wrote these lyrics because he understood where he had come from. He said that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from those waters he lifted me, and now safe am I. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what we proclaim. That should be the story of our life. That should be the narrative of each and every one of us. Not the success of the gains that we have, not the wins and the losses, but that I was sinking in my own sin. But this love, when there seemed like there was nothing else, this love came and it lifted me. It showed me that I was more than I ever thought I could be. That's Jesus. That's Christ. Don't be content with whatever the world gives you, because the world will disappoint you. It gives and it takes away. But in our relationship, when we confront and encounter real love, it's unmistakable, undeniable. And every time we turn to it, it's right there. No matter what we've done, no matter mistakes we've made, it's there to receive us and take us in. You say, well, Pastor, this life has beat me up. There's been too many situations. It's hard for me to have gratitude. Well, I would say that there's a word called faith. And faith is what we lean on when things seem like they're their worst. When we're going through the tough times, it's a faith that allows us to persevere. Where's gratitude in that? Well, there was a study in 2006 that showed that therapists dealing with Vietnam War veterans, those who had a higher level of gratitude, they went through horrific things. But those who had the higher levels of gratitude had the lowest levels of post-traumatic stress. Because in their situation, in the worst of it, they had a faith that what they went through wasn't just for no reason at all, but it was to bring them to where they were, because they came through it. And they were grateful that they had gone through what they went through. What is it that you've gone through? What has God brought you through? If he's brought you through nothing, say thank you anyway, because he's a gracious God. But we've all gone through something, and we're all going to go through more. So let us put that gratefulness in our hearts today. Let us remember what he's brought us through, and let us say thank you. As the band comes forward, I also want to call Andy and Mark to come forward as an opportunity for us to give thanks. They're going to pass out some cards.